Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
We've got good news on civil asset forfeiture out of the state of Maine. A lot of people sent me the email. My email is blowing up, as they say. Maine abolishes civil forfeiture, now requires a criminal conviction to take property. So it's going to be criminal asset forfeiture, not civil asset forfeiture. This is one of the ways I said this could be fixed. If more states did this, it would solve the problem. So Maine is now the fourth state to do this. Nick Sibilla wrote this for Forbes.com. It's widely reported. Maine's the fourth state to abolish civil asset forfeiture, which is a practice that allows law enforcement to confiscate millions of dollars worth of property without ever filing criminal charges. Takes effect now without the governor's signature because it was so overwhelmingly passed by the legislature. It's LD 1521, and it fully repeals Maine's civil forfeiture laws while simultaneously bolstering its criminal forfeiture process, which only authorizes forfeiture after a criminal conviction other than a few narrow circumstances, like if the person dies. They're not going to have a trial for a dead person, so it makes sense. Although civil forfeiture is typically defended as a way to fight back against like drug kingpins, in reality, many forfeiture cases are remarkably petty. In Maine, half of all cash forfeitures were under $1,670. So if you were traveling with $2,000 on you, you've got more money than the average person who gets hit for a civil asset forfeiture. Cop pulls you over. Hey, you got $2,000 on you. What's that? What's up with that? They just take it. You want it back? Sue us. In the old days in Maine. It's a very simple concept. You don't lose your property unless you used it in the commission of a crime or knowingly allowed someone else to use it in the commission of a crime, said Representative Falkingham, who is a bill sponsor. He said that back in May. It's time to end this workaround that makes people prove their innocence rather than prosecutors proving guilt. This is one of the founding principles of our country. I've talked about this before. It shifts the burden of proof to you. So if you're in court accused of a crime, the prosecutor's got to prove you guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. If you're trying to get your money back, you've got to prove that your money is innocent, which is backwards. And most people agree with that. Absent meaningful safeguards, policing for profit has run amok in Maine. Under state law, after property was forfeited in Maine, a court could decide to send the proceeds to any county, municipal, or state agency that made a substantial contribution to the investigation or the prosecution. For cases involving county-level or municipal-level forfeitures, county commissioners or municipal legislative bodies would then vote to approve transferring the proceeds, which they always did. Portland, Maine, which is the state's most populous city, from 2015 through 2020, their city council approved every forfeiture case transfer it was presented with, amounting to nearly $100,000 in forfeiture funding for the Portland Police Department. City council agendas and minutes revealed. Moreover, the votes on transferring forfeiture proceeds were always on the consent agenda, meaning the votes were unanimous, with little to any public debate. On the other hand, with no court approval, or if the county or municipality failed to approve the transfer, the proceeds were then sent to the general fund, but that rarely ever happened. According to a 2018 investigation by the Maine Beacon, aside from a single deposit of $4,335 made by the Public Safety Department in 2010, no recent proceeds from property forfeitures has gone into Maine's general fund. In sharp contrast, $276,000 was forfeited in just the year 2010. In fact, approvals are so routine, the Attorney General not only has a form letter for police to use, it regularly asks municipalities to approve the transfer of forfeiture funds before the property is even forfeited. They just assume it's a done deal. In order to streamline what is otherwise a cumbersome forfeiture process, the AG says, that's what the purpose of that form letter is, all told, between 2009 and 2019, Maine agencies forfeited more than $3 million under state law, according to a 2020 report by the Institute for Justice. During that same period, police and prosecutors generated more than three times as much revenue, which is $10.2 million, through equitable sharing. Now, that's a federal forfeiture program where state and local agencies can partner with the feds, like the DEA or immigration, and property gets forfeited under federal law, and then they get to keep some of the money, and the feds get some of the money. So to close that loophole, this new Maine law bans law enforcement from participating in equitable sharing, except for cases involving more than $100,000 in cash. Now, it's a big loophole. Turns out that of the 130 equitable sharing cases in Maine over the past 5 years, Only two would have qualified, according to the study by the Institute for Justice. Maine now joins seven other states, plus Washington, D.C., that have limited the equitable sharing with the feds. Now, the law does not eliminate the transfer system under state law. It does, at the very least, provide some much-needed transparency. Records of forfeited property along with their transfer must now be filed with the Department of Public Safety, which in turn will make those reports publicly accessible online. Nevertheless, thanks to Tuesday's reform, Maine now has some of the best forfeiture laws in the country. Of the three other states that ended civil forfeiture, only New Mexico completely abolished the profit incentive for state and federal forfeitures. For its part, Nebraska set a $25,000 threshold for its agencies to participate in equitable sharing, though its state constitution still allows law enforcement to keep half the proceeds from forfeiture. Meanwhile, in North Carolina, the state constitution requires all forfeiture proceeds to fund public schools, but does not limit equitable sharing at all. Here's a problem. They go, oh, there's civil asset forfeiture, but we give the money to the schools. So that makes it right. It doesn't matter where you're sending the stolen money to. You stole it from somebody. That's the funny thing, is I think that they say, hey, we're giving it to schools. It's for the kids. It's how they're going to dress it up and make it sound nice. So Lee McGrath, who is the senior legislative counsel at the Institute for Justice, says civil forfeiture is one of the most serious assaults on due process and private property rights in America today. Maine's decision to repeal civil forfeiture ends an immense injustice and will ensure that only convicted criminals and not innocent Mainers lose their property to forfeiture. If you're from Maine, you are a Mainer. I did not know that. I learned a new demonym today. Demonym is the word for the name you call somebody from a particular place. If you're from Canada, the demonym is Canadian. Okay? From Michigan, it's a debate. We won't get into it. So most people I've spoken to agree that civil asset forfeiture is wrong. Criminal asset forfeiture makes sense. So you commit a crime. The proceeds of that crime are in your possession when you get arrested. They try you and you get convicted. It makes sense that they say, oh, by the way, the proceeds of the crime you committed for which you were convicted, you should forfeit that. So let's say this happens, right? You're driving down the road one day. You've done nothing wrong. Sitting on the seat next to you is $18,000 in cash. I'm not saying I advise you to do that, but let's just say that it's America. You can drive around with cash in your car if you want. There's no law against it. You're driving down the road with $18,000 in cash in your car. Police officer pulls you over because he thinks that you may have not signaled properly back there or something like that. Walks up to your car, sees a big bundle of cash. Hey, looks like $18,000. What's that doing there? You go, oh, it's my money. Let's say you're going to buy a car for $18,000. Cop goes, no. Grabs it, takes it, says, you want your money back? You got to sue us for it. That's civil asset forfeiture. 46 states still allow it. Now, criminal asset forfeiture would go like this. Somebody commits a crime by which they profited $18,000. Exactly. And at all points, bulletin goes out. Look for this person driving this car. They've got $18,000 on them. Profits from a crime they just committed for which we want you to stop them if you see them. Apprehend them. Police officer sees you go by. Hey, that looks like the car. Pulls out the wanted poster. That looks like the guy. Pulls the car over. You're in the car. You just got pulled over. You're wanted for a crime. APB. Cop goes, hey, that $18,000, where's that from? You go, oh, I profited from a crime. That's my profit. Let's say you're not that bright. Cop grabs the money, arrests you. Okay? You get tried. You get convicted. You committed a crime by which you profited $18,000. That $18,000 that was in the car was the profit from that crime. No one I know would actually say, Steve, you can send that guy to jail, but he gets to keep the money. No, it's profit of a crime. Among other things, if it came from somebody else, you give it back to them. If it was stolen, for instance, right? But let's suppose that you committed some kind of crime where you didn't steal the money, but like somehow you came into the money, but you did it through a criminal process. Most people would say you don't let the criminal keep the profits. No, not if you can prove it. So that's the difference between criminal asset forfeiture and civil asset forfeiture. Okay, civil asset forfeiture, they just take your stuff and go, if you want your stuff back, sue us for it. There are people who've had their money taken who weren't even arrested and were not charged with crimes. That happens all the time. And they just go, well, yeah, but we think your money's guilty. We're going to keep your money. We're going to keep your stuff. That's wrong. So the fact that there's only four states that have done this so far is unfortunate, but it's better than last week when there's only three states. So we're making progress one state at a time. It's something, right? So Maine has joined the parade, and we're happy, but we need this to get larger. We need all 50 states on board with us. The pendulum is swinging. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced of it. And it's because people are watching videos like this and are telling their friends and are agitating about it. And I've mentioned to people, if you ever get the chance, talk to a legislator, a politician, anything. I don't care if the guy's running for drain commissioner, okay? You meet somebody who's running for something. Go, you know something? Of all the laws that are out there, civil asset forfeiture is one of the craziest. Do something about that. The guy's going to go, yeah, but I'm just the drain commissioner. Okay. I want to get the word out. So good news from Forbes. Nick Sibilla wrote it. It was sent to me by a whole bunch of people, including David and David, Brent, Brian, Josh, Stan, Jake, Ian, and Robert. Thanks a lot, guys. I'm sorry. And Sean also sent it to me. Maine abolishes civil forfeiture. Now it requires a criminal conviction to take the property in Maine. Good news. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Happiness is not an ideal of reason, but of imagination.